Hey, it's Paul Banus of GreatDad.com here with my weekly series talking to dads about all things dad-like. And I've got another guest today after having Al Lyman on a couple of weeks talking about life after 50. I've got Mark Barnes here. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Paul, thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
And Mark has a book out that he wrote with James Allen Sturtevant called Hacking Life After 50. And he's got a website. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I really wanted to talk. I want to talk because I'm getting into that. I'm in that cohort now of men who are a little bit older. My kids, Mark and I were just talking, our kids are all going off to college during this time period. And it's a big question when you get to the end of your journey of your fatherhood. It's not, you know, never too late to think about the whole journey, even if you're just, you know, a new dad. But how do you find meaning in this portion of life when your biggest job in your life, the child raising, is over and now you're moving on to a next phase? So I'm hoping Mark's going to add some real wisdom to keep me motivated for today and the weekend.
Well, Paul, wisdom might be a stretch. I don't know. But yeah, you know, we've got some strategies, I think, that are useful for what you just said for, you know, maybe I don't like to say older dads, but, you know, maybe dads that are kind of transitioning into a different phase of life. You know, certainly I think, you know, a lot of times you share strategies in your show for newer dads or for dads with teens and all of that. Man, we've been through that. And those are great tips to have. But yeah, I think, you know, when you're transitioning in life, and that doesn't necessarily mean retiring, but you're getting to a point where life's changing a little bit. You might be thinking about different things or moving into a different career. And then again, when you have kids, you know, they start their own transitions, you know, when they get to high school, when they graduate from high school, and sometimes they go through different paths. You know, I have two young adult kids, and one's going into his junior year in college, and the other graduated, you know, did a lot of her high school during the pandemic, worst part of the pandemic, and, you know, a lot of being at home. And you know, she was very honest, and she's a pretty mature kid, and said, "Dad, I don't think I'm ready to go to college.
Yeah, I think it's,
you know, I want to learn how to be independent," which I, you know, again, I thought that's a pretty mature thing for a teen to say. So, you know, we embrace that, her mother and I, and said, "You know, what do you want to do?" So she's working, and, you know, but it does bring us to a different phase, you know, because she still lives with us, but we don't see her all that often. And my son is gone most of the year. So we're sort of empty nesters, you know, and that, you know, that's a big transition. So I think that when that happens, you change as an adult a little bit and your outlook on life changes. And like you said, that most important thing that you've been doing, you're still doing it as a parent. You're still parenting, I think. I'm sure we always will be. You know, my parents lived to their 90s and they had pearls of wisdom for me, you know, and I'm almost 60. So we do have to think about life a little bit differently.
Yeah. Well, you bring up transition. So I think that's the first thing is to talk about is that this is a transition like any other of the transition. You might have gone through career transition. You got married, you had babies, you know, all these just transitions in your life. Is there any piece of anything that comes to mind when you think of like a general rule about handling transitions? I guess for me, it would always be like look before you leap kind of thing. The more you know about the realities of the transition, the better you're going to be than if you go into it thinking like, oh, retirement, playing golf and having sandwiches and being with the buddies and it's all going to be great. It's not going to be quite that. You might be different than that, but is that how you look at it too?
Absolutely. And, you know, in Hacking Life After 50, we talk a lot about this and we don't use the word retirement too much. And, you know, we recognize that we're going to have readers who are retired. So we acknowledge that, but we really don't want the attitude, you know, like you just covered that sort of like just kick back and go, okay, kids are gone and, you know, I'm just chilling by the pool or whatever. You know, we talk a lot about purpose. In fact, that's the first chapter in our book is all about either, you know, finding a new purpose if that's necessary, or if you're changing, transitioning in careers, or just again to being maybe an empty nester, to think, you know, I still have a lot of value. And we have found that the older after 50s often struggle with that. Yeah. You know, as a father who watched, you know, took a son to college, and, you know, as you've done, you know, that's a tough thing. And, you know, there might be a lot of your listeners who haven't gotten there yet, you know, who have younger kids, But, you know, those things are going to come. And that is a really difficult time. And then, you know, my daughter, as I said, she decided to work and not go to college. So we saw two sort of different paths. But again, it left us in that place where we're like, okay, what's next for us? You know, my wife said, I was a classroom teacher and my wife is still a classroom teacher. So, you know, she's very busy and I've now transitioned to a different career and not as much in the parenting as we used to be. And there is a lot of alone time, you know, and we mentioned some of this in the book too. There's some studies about loneliness and isolation and, you know, being in a pandemic world and, you know, I like to think on the back end of it, but in the early going, I mean, that was something everyone struggled with, was that isolation and loneliness. And those things can be damaging to longevity. They can cost you years. So we talk about finding that purpose again and thinking, okay, if I'm not doing what I used to do as a parent, if I'm not driving my kids to, you know, soccer games and the play and different things that they did constantly and checking in on them in school and talking to their teachers and all, you know, what am I doing? And especially if I'm not working, what am I doing that gives me that sense of purpose that I had then? And that's a really important piece.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier too, is like recreating your value, which I think is linked to purpose and meaning, because you can get into this era of time and you don't really know that it's coming, but you kind of become a little bit of an invisible man after, you know, 60s, you know, the people aren't looking at you quite the same way. And you feel that. I mean, I think it's really a lot harder on women from what I've heard. But for men too, you know, you're no longer the star of the party. You're no longer the person that people perceive as going places. That doesn't mean that you can't, but you kind of have to, kind of quiet some of the, you know, the incoming thoughts and things and create your own value and meaning. That's my experience.
Yeah. And, you know, I like the way you phrase it, you know, quieting thoughts, because there does tend to be a bit of a chaos too. You know, a mental chaos where you, and this could be with any transition, but, you know, we're talking a lot about parenting. And I think that there's the chaos of, oh my goodness, what do I do now? And the mind starts to twirl, you know? And so one thing I think, again, focusing on purpose from the dad point of view is, you know, for me, what I did is we talk about calming yourself. And, you know, we get into meditation a little bit and deep breathing and all of that stuff's important. And I think there's real value to that in getting to this place where you can think with intention. So, and reflect. So when I got to that point, you know, first of all, with my son going off to college and all, and I got to that space where I just said, let me think about how my role is different. And I think that's a good question for dads to ask, you know, when you get to any stage of transition with your kids, what's my role now? Because my role is going to be a little bit different, or maybe dramatically different. So like for me, you know, I certainly didn't feel like I had no role, but I think that's a risk we talked about. You know, that's a little bit of a risk to say, okay, I'm not a dad anymore. Yeah. And you know, you're always going to be, but I think you have to think, what role can I play now in my young adult child's life or in my adult child's life? So, you know, for me, it sort of shifted more to a mentorship role. So, you know, my son is going into education and my background's in education. Yeah, right. So that creates a common bond. And I think that's another important thing to think, what common ground do I have as my kids grow older and change? How can I still find some common ground? You know, I was listening to one of your episodes recently, and the gentleman was talking about gaming, kids who are online. And, you know, and he said, you know, maybe you try the gaming with them to sort of stay involved, you know. And I think that was also a lot about making sure that they're on the right path and not going down the wrong road on social media or in gaming. And, you know, because that can be scary too.
Yeah, my son's going off in a couple of weeks and he's taking the PS4. So I got a PS5 and we're going, it was really sweet. He said, you know, we can stay in touch when I'm, you know, we can play games together. And he's never invited me to do that in the house, but it was sweet that he wanted to stay in touch that way. So meeting them where they are is a big part of continuing on the parenting.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that because my son's a big time gamer too. And he's got all of his stuff. He brought it all home when he came home for the summer, and now we'll be carting it back. And So yeah, that's a good way. And I've never been that much into that, and we don't have that real common ground, but I just find myself sometimes saying, tell me about your game. You know, what are you doing? He'll be on the game, and then he's on the phone with a friend and they're sort of playing together. And I'm like, well, tell me a little bit about that. But again, with my son, you know, we talk a lot about education. So, you know, I find myself getting very involved in what he's doing in school. And interestingly, he's also minoring in entrepreneurship. And, you know, I started a publishing company years ago after being a teacher. So, you know, we have that common ground to talk about too. So I think curiosity is a big one. You know, in Hacking Life After 50, we have a phrase we love that we call momentum mindset. And a big part of that is that no matter how old you are, we want to use the idea of momentum, that we're growing intellectually, that we have curiosity, you know, an adventurous spirit. And I think I try to employ that mindset with my kids.
Yeah. This is really the crux of the conversation, I think, is keeping that momentum going. Because, you know, I'm 65, I'm a little bit ahead of you. And there is a tendency for the little voices in your mind to say things like, you know, why bother? You know, why bother getting up this morning? Why not sleep in? Why put myself through some hard work? What am I going to get out of it? I'm not looking at a horizon of, you know, 30, 40 years for developing some, you know, big thing. And, but you, at the same time, you realize that you have to keep on going. So that's the secret that I'm looking for, is how to quell those voices, how to stop those voices and keep on keeping on. Because I'm still super active. I'm lucky. I've got a wife who's 6 years younger, so she keeps me going. But I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are struggling with this idea.
Yeah, Paul, we have a lot in common because my wife's 9 years younger than I am. So, yeah, and it's a great point. And, you know, the one thing you said that resonates a little bit with me is, you know, you said at your age, you know, you're not thinking, well, I've got this great big thing that I'm working on over the next 25, 30 years. One thing I would say is, you know, you might, though. That's the other thing. And that's the whole thing with purpose and with momentum mindset, is we promote the idea that we're not finished. There's really, you know, until you take the last breath, we like to say we're really not finished. And that is what I tell people who get that, what's next. And that's a big thing that we cover in Hacking Life After 50, is we recognize that as a problem right away, that as people get older, as parents, kids grow up, and we lose that sense of their sole adult, I'm their go-to, you know, we sort of lose that sense. We really promote that idea that there's so much more. In fact, we talk about life in two acts, you know, and it's trendy to talk about life in three acts. You know, you're a kid and you're finding your way. And then act two, you sort of get maybe a spouse and you get a career. And then act three, you're retired and you move to Florida. So, you know, we don't do that. We say that we use 50 as our barometer. So we say act one is everything ahead of 50. And it does include all of those things I just mentioned, except moving to Florida. And act two, which we also, you know, if you want to go to Florida, great. But act two, we say, is it can still be the better part. You know, there's so much to live for. And we have so many experiences, you know, as someone our age, you think of the things that we've done and, you know, the education, and that doesn't have to be formal in school
right.
education.
No, it's just, you know, experience.
It's experience and it's learning. And in today's world, I mean, you know, there's so much knowledge at our fingertips. Right. So, you know, you can find something new. You know, I taught for 23 years at the middle school and high school level. And, you know, after that, I was getting close to a lot of teachers' retirement age. You know, a lot of teachers retire in their mid-50s. And I was getting to that point, and I left the classroom to start something completely new. And there was a lot of risk there and a lot of anxiety. But I'll tell you, that really helps with that momentum, that curiosity. And we talk about risk. Don't be afraid to take a chance. Don't get to that point where you say, well, I'm X age and I'm old now and my kids are gone and they don't need me anymore, so I don't have to do anything.
That's the worst inner critic voice that you can hear during the day. And believe me, I hear it. And I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't exist. But that little voice that says, you're old, you know, you can't do that anymore. You're old. And you just can't live with that mindset. It's really just, it sounds so easy, but it's not.
Well, you know, there's a story there's a lot of stories in Hacking Life After 50, but one of my favorite stories is when we talk about just this topic about mindset and where we are and how we, as we get older, we tend to sometimes think I'm finished. We tell a story about a guy that I know who was 70 years old and was fit and retired, but, you know, really enjoying life, getting to the gym, all that stuff. And right when the pandemic started, when things are bad for everybody, he got cancer. And, you know, so right away, you talk about that mindset of it's easy to say I'm done. I mean, he's 70, his kids are, you know, in their 30s. And, you know, so he's like, okay, what else is there for me? Maybe this is just my time. And, you know, he went through all of the therapies and the chemo and everything like that. And fortunately, he got a pretty good recovery and diagnosis from the and prognosis that the doctor said, you know, right now in the short term, it looks like you've beat this and you can keep going. And, you know, what the story he told me was, he said, you know, I was at that point where I was saying, I'm just done. I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And because he had sort of peaked with getting to a place where he was in such great shape and, you know, he had beat type 2 diabetes and, you know, he was just, you know, living large. And then suddenly you hit that wall with something like a, you know, as bad as cancer. And he said, you know, he had to get to a point where he said, you know what? The doctors say I have time left. Why am I wallowing? And that was his key, is he said, I'm wallowing. And it was that constant, you know, that you talked about, the negative talk, the self-talk where you're telling yourself there's nothing left. And he said, one day I said, there's plenty left.
Yeah.
You know, get up off the floor, keep going. And he's, after 2 years off, went back to the gym, got a personal trainer. And he said, you know, it was more incremental. He said it took time to get back, you know, but here he is now, a year plus after the doctor telling him, you know, he was in good shape. And he said, I'm back to the weight I was. I'm back to being in great shape. And the key was also getting intellectual curiosity back. He said, I had gotten to a point where I sat around and did nothing. And he said, now, you know, I read every day. He's into, like, you know, model cars and tracks, and he builds. And, you know, he said, those are the keys. The mindset is the key. You know, I think that's a big part of this conversation, is your mindset means so much. And he said, I had the mindset of life's over, and I had to pick myself up and say, you know what, I'm 70. And again, you know, our goal is, we say we want to get to a healthy 100.
Right.
And that's where he was. He said, yeah. So he said, you know what? I've got 30 years maybe.
Yeah.
So why am I going to sit around and say I got nothing left?
Yeah. And back to what you were saying about Florida as a metaphor. I mean, Florida as a retirement.
Right.
Retirement place. We can talk about the merits of that. But I think, I do think it's really dangerous for people who had that old fashioned idea that you go down to Sun City, wherever Sun City is, and you lie around, because you can do that for a little while. After you retire, you get your pocket watch and everything. You can go and lie in a beach chair. But if you allow that to happen for, you know, for a long period of time, you really decay fast. Back in the day, you were going to die at 72 anyway. So why not just rest and recover, because you probably felt like crap. But nowadays, you're active. You cannot get into that let's do nothing mindset. Whatever it is that is keeping you active, reading books, doing other activities, starting a new project, starting a new career, that's what you need to do.
Yeah. And, you know, we have to set goals, you know, and I think, you know, goal setting is something that there's been tons of books written about. And, you know, I think most people have heard about, you know, the SMART plan, you know, specific, measurable, all of that stuff with the goals. And that's important. But I think when we get to after 50s life, we tend to forget all about that. And it's like, well, again, what's my goal? You know, it's to sit around. How much time do I really have left? What would I set a goal for? But we talk a lot about this in Hacking Life After 50 and say, you know, you can start with the negative. Think of a list of things that you'd like to see change. And they can be super simple. It doesn't have to be a giant weight goal, or, you know, I want to run a marathon. But if that's your goal, great. But ultimately, you know, set some goals that you can see, that are in sight, that don't look like they're 20 or 30 years away, and work toward those goals in small steps. Because that's a real important part about that, again, purpose. Why do I get out of bed in the morning? And again, bring it right back to parenthood. I think that we have to continue to have goals as fathers, no matter how old our kids are. You know, I mean, we talked in the early part of the conversation about the paths our kids are taking. And, you know, my son's got 2 years of college left. So, you know, there's going to be those 2 year goals we're going to talk about. And then, you know, already when he gets finished, what's next? And he's going to get into a career. And if he winds up being a teacher, well, we've got a whole lot to talk about. Right. So when I think about goals, I think, well, I want to help my son be the most successful educator he can be based on my own experiences. So I think those are really important things to think about.
And also at this stage of life, those goals can be really personal to you. Whereas before, a lot of them were tailored to your job. And, you know, quite often we were led to do things out of expectations, but now we're, you know, if you're financially a little bit secure, you can start deciding what you want to do. I run a group of men 55 plus with this exact topic, trying to find meaning. And we had a meeting just 2 weeks ago, and it was just about travel. So it was about travel plans. And one of the biggest things in discussing travel post 50, 55, 60 is go where you want to go. Don't go where everybody says you should go. And that pertains to everything about this time period, is don't let what everybody says lead you to go away from what your goals are, your dreams.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I talk a lot about what we want to do when she's finished. And, you know, again, she's younger than I am, so she's got a few more years that she's going to continue to work, but we're already looking ahead. And that's that mindset again of momentum. You know, a part of that is looking ahead and believing that something is next. So, you know, she might work another 6, 7, 8 years, but we're already saying, what do we want to do then? You know, I think we're set where we live. We're not going to maybe move somewhere, but we said, you know, hey, it gets pretty cold here in Northeast Ohio, and I don't like the cold. So I said, you know, let's plan some trips. Let's find some places to go. And we find ourselves already doing that exploration, you know, and even though it's years down the road, it's fun to do. It gives you a sense, a purpose, again, something I want to do. And you might say, well, that's just vacationing, but it isn't. We look at it as exploration. Yeah. You know, I said, there's so many places I haven't been. You know, people talk about going to overseas and other continents and whatever. And there's a lot of the United States we haven't seen. And I said, think of all the places we can go that we can explore and we can learn about. And you discover, it's like a discovery journey. You learn a lot about yourself still, and you have so much more. You know?
Go to every national park, get that golden pass, and go to every national park, and they never disappoint.
Again, we're like-minded, but yeah, because that's
part of this too is I'd love to hear what your feelings about like reigniting your relationship too. What do you think of that? How do you do that after you play these different roles and then the kids are gone? Now you are at a different phase of your relationship, because that's a key part of doing well during this time period too, right?
Yeah, well, it's super important, and there's a lot of research behind it. And we do talk about it in Hacking Life After 50. We don't try to get too deep into just the interpersonal or your relationship with your spouse, but we talk about, you know, again, with keeping it a G-rated book, we do talk about romance. Right. And we cite some experts and some studies that have been done about longevity. And that is a really important piece, your personal relationships with a spouse or someone you're close to, and then building outward, your friends group, your acquaintance group. All of these things are really important. So yeah, and number one would be with the person, your spouse or significant other, that is such an important thing. So I think, again, when we're talking about, you know, what's next, and even if it isn't travel, you know, I think there's a lot there about, I want to explore this with my spouse. You know, I started a new career. And a big part, you know, my wife played a big role in that. You know, we spend tons of time now, and she's a teacher, and she doesn't really understand the nuances of my business, but, you know, she's someone to bounce ideas off of. And that, I think, does continue to keep you close.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's, from my perspective, a lot of it is finding the things that you like to do together and really working at that. I mean, if you choose two different paths, it is a difficult transition time, and transitions sometimes can be very dangerous. But if you figure out where the paths are that you want to go, the places you want to travel to together, the activities you want to do on your spare time, that's a key part of this, I think.
Well, yeah, you know, we find, and the other thing, going back to kids, you know, we still find that a lot of our conversations are about our kids. And, you know, when you really are invested in your partner, you want to hear what they have to say. It isn't just, you know, it isn't just me venting, which I do plenty of, but, you know, it's asking questions and listening with intention and saying, I want to hear what you say and I want to process that. You know, we take walks, and, you know, I don't want to get too deep into the other parts of the book unrelated to this, but in Hacking Life After 50, when we talk about fitness, and we have a whole hack that's about movement.
Right.
And, so, you know, one of the most important things you can do is walk, is get up and move and get outside and get into the sunshine. So my wife and I love to walk, and we spend a lot of time walking together. And I find that many of those conversations are about our kids and, you know, what they're facing and how we would like to guide them together. You know, I talked earlier about, you know, the playing that role with my son and coaching him a little bit on his career. But, you know, my wife and I talk a lot about that, and we want to make sure we're on the same page. You know, what are the things we want to do with our son and with our daughter to guide them to become better adults? And there's a lot of love in that. You know, I think it keeps you close. I don't want to say brings you close, because I like to assume we're close already, It keeps you close.
Yeah. Family is where it's at. The one thing we didn't touch on that I know people always talk about in finding meaning at this stage is sense of community and giving back. Do you cover that in the book?
We do. Yeah. In fact, there's an entire chapter in Hacking Life After 50 where we talk about connection. And the connection is some of what we just talked about, the personal connection, but also connecting with community and finding community, first of all, because this is another thing that as you age, that people tend to be isolated. They tend to stay home more. If you're not working and you don't have to leave your house, people tend to stay home. And again, there's just so much research on the value of this. You know, we reference Dan Buettner and the Blue Zones. And I don't know if your listeners are familiar with that, but it's a really
cool. We talked about that with Al a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a super cool thing. So anyways, a big part of the Blue Zone life is community and giving back. You know, I think that's, we talk about that. What can you find? And it goes back to purpose. You know, our conversation keeps coming back to these themes, you know. What can you find that you're passionate about? And that's a really important part, is you have to be passionate about it, that you can then connect with a group or an organization or someone that you can give back, give your experience, your knowledge, if it's donating money, whatever it is that you can do. I think that's really important. And again, it continues to build that sense of purpose and the sense of joy. And, you know, joy is a big part of what we're talking about too.
Right. Very good. So you also have a website, after50slife.com. Are there resources on that as well as in the book, or is it a different angle?
Yeah, well, that's a page on the publishing site, but it's about the book. It has links to me and to Jim, my co-author. There's at least one video, and we're going to continue to add videos. And there'll be a link to our Facebook page, which is also called After 50's Life. And there, you know, that's a place where Jim and I are sharing a lot of the stuff that's in the book. You know, I mean, we want people to buy the book, but if they don't, you know, we still want to do whatever we can. This is our way of giving back. You know, we're sharing our own personal experiences with the research we've done and with the practices that we do every day. So we have all kinds of things on there. There's videos of us out walking and talking and just saying, hey, try this, try that. So that's another good resource.
Yeah, I love that. As part of the book, it doesn't have like things you can try. Like you emphasize a lot like trying new things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're in there. I mean, you know, the chapter formats in the book are, you know, we present a problem, a solution, and then everybody's favorite is what you can do tomorrow. So every chapter in the book has a section called what you can do tomorrow. And we're laying it out. Like when we talk about deep breathing is something that's really good for after 50s and really for everybody. But a lot of people go, I don't really know what that means. I'm breathing every day. And when you get to what you can do tomorrow, I mean, there's bullets. We've got little bullet points. Do this. And we say in the book, put the book down right now and try this. So it's that kind of, you know, it's really practical, hands-on. That's what we like.
Yeah. I love that. You know, you and I both are Midwesterners. I'm originally from Minnesota. And I think one of the things about Midwesterners, we're usually kind of cynical about this stuff. I live in California now, so I'm like, woo. But my feeling toward a lot of this before I became a coach 3 years ago was, you know, I have no use for any of this. And then I start digging into the science behind a lot of the things that you're talking about, whether it's, you know, whether it's meditation or deep breathing, movement, gratitude practice. There are a lot of these things that maybe they sound a little bit woo-hoo, especially for people of our generation. But the science now is really showing how they can rewire the brain and change your perspective. And the data is really conclusive. It's really an amazing time.
Paul, if you and I lived close together, we'd be hanging out because it's amazing to me how like-minded we are. Because what you said, I have said almost verbatim in many interviews that I've done, and I was exactly that person. And that's one of the things I, you know, I like to share is because, you know, people are skeptical about stuff, you know, and I say, you know, I'm very transparent in saying I was that guy. I was the guy who said, meditation, that's for other people. That's not for me. And I don't, you know, I can't waste my time sitting around. You know, I got things to do, you know, deep breathing. And, you know, I used to hate fruits and vegetables and I'm like, I don't need that. And, you know, whatever, that's a bunch of hooey that people say you have to have it. And then I became a convert, you know, and there's stories in the book about how we got to that I won't get into right now, but you know, it was a transition period for me. And ironically, it happened right about the age of 50. And I became very interested in health and fitness and living a long life. And that's when the research really began. And meditation is a part of every day for me. And we talk about how to make it a routine because it's hard. It's not something that you could just say, okay, I'm just going to sit down and close my eyes. You know, there's more to it than that. And, you know, and it's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's easy to start and to try. And if you do it incrementally, it becomes habitual.
Yeah, I think that was part of, I think that this age time is it things change. You have a different type of perspective and maybe more open to things that could get you back to feeling like you're 30 again. So I'm looking at the suicide statistics. It's interesting to me. I mean, suicide is a huge factor or a huge piece of data or a huge risk factor in America today, with men and women being about 50%, but 80% of those suicides are by men. Interestingly enough, the group 65 to 74 has one of the lowest suicide rates, because I think it's in that this period of time when people are feeling, maybe they feel a little bit more liberated and their health is usually still pretty good. Hopefully they've got a little bit of money in the bank and are able to enjoy. And then it starts dropping off as you get older, as I think health problems are probably the biggest thing coupled with that loneliness. Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of set the stage probably now in your 50s, 60s for staying in shape, keeping the community alive, staying curious, you know, health factors aside, you're going to go into that older cohort in a better shape.
And I think the important point there too is that, you know, when you said we don't want to wait until that time, you know, we don't want to assume, okay, well, I'll get to 65 and that cohort is better off.
Right. No.
And that's why I always say that hacking life after 50 isn't just for people 50 and older. You know, I talk a lot about how one of the things we promote too is sharing our experiences with younger people. And, you know, we're talking about as dads, and there's been a lot of this conversation about, you know, sharing with your kids and coaching them. And, you know, I talk to my kids a lot about the things that are written in the book, you know, about living a healthy lifestyle. And I say, you know, you don't want to wait. You know, don't wait until you're 50 or in your 40s or whatever, because kids tend to feel invincible, you know. And for those groups in the higher risk of suicide range, all this stuff we're talking about, if you dive into it, I think you cut your risk of that quite a bit. You're going to feel better, you know, if you're healthy. Health is so important, and younger people, I think, tend to underrate that. You know, the power of sleep, the power of a peaceful mind, you know, having the right mindset every day, getting up with a purpose, thinking, you know, people need me. That's a big one too. And, you know, you've got something to offer no matter what, you know, anybody listening, you, no matter what you think, you've got something to offer to someone and people need you. And I think that's an important thing to think about.
Yeah. Well, that's really good note to end on is, I mean, your book could have been Hacking Life After 30, because a lot of these same things, if you start earlier, and it's not like giving up stuff. I mean, don't think about like changing your habits as giving up stuff. It's developing new habits, like developing the habits of eating fruits and vegetables. It doesn't have to be, oh God, now I have to eat fruits and vegetables because I'm over 50. Start at age 25 or 30, you create a path that's far better. So Mark, it's really been a pleasure meeting you and talking about this book. The book is Hacking Life After 50. And you can find, I don't know, maybe it's easier just look, remember Hacking Life After 50, since you mentioned a couple of times, versus the website, but that is after50slife.com. So Mark Barnes, thank you very much for taking time to talk with me today.
Paul, it's been a great pleasure. I've really enjoyed it. I enjoy your show. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Okay. Paul Bannis at greatdad.com. Until next time, keep on being the best dad you can. Stay with those kitties.